Good morning, everyone. Everybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Say amen. Let's all stand and begin our worship service by singing, Lord, I lift your name on high. Everybody, please stand.
Lord, I lift your name on high. I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the fall. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.
Church, thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate it very much. If you're visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, welcome. Thank you so much for choosing Lena Vista Baptist Church. It's our prayer that you will have a real up-close personal experience with the Lord Jesus while you're here today. Feel free to worship, and let's just enjoy our time together. In your bulletin, you'll find a little connection card there. If you have a prayer request, we would love for you to put that on the back of that card. If you are visiting with us, we'd love for you to fill that out so we'll have not only a record of your visit, but a way to contact you if you need anything that we can provide for you as a church. Thank you so much. I just pray and hope you have a great day in the house of the Lord this morning. All right. Sandra, where you at? There you are. Got a couple announcements this morning for y'all.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have taken on the job of taking care of the nursery from now on. And I'm in need of some help. I need some volunteers, and I've got quite a few that have said that they would help me. There's a few things that we need to get done if you would like to volunteer to help, and that is if you've not had a background investigation, we need to get that done. And we've got some forms to be filled out, and you could give them to Linda after you get them filled out. And we have some here that are available. And if anybody would like to have one, if you would raise your hand, the deacons have got them, and they will bring them to you. And you could just, at your time, just fill them out and just get them back to Linda, and she'll go through the process and let you know when it's completed, and we'll put you to work. As my husband has stated in the past with announcements, you do not have to be the worker bee. We will have someone in there that can lift the children and take care of their needs. We just basically need someone that will just sit in there with us, because we need two people in there at all times for several reasons. And that is in case something happens, heaven forbid, that we can get someone to leave the room to go make a phone call or to go get help, is the main reason. So it's we just have to have the person, two people in there. If not, we have to close the nursery down, and we don't want to do that. Right now, we only have one precious little child, and she is no trouble whatsoever and a joy to watch. You have to be a church goer for 6 months. Is that correct, Pastor? And other than that, I think those are the only two. Pass the background and be here for 6 months. Right, Miss Linda? Okay. So there's not too many things to keep you from not participating and helping. So you wanted a form. Tammy wants a form. Okay, and there's quite a few people that's already have already gone through and got their background checks. What would be wonderful, I've got the sign-up roster at the back on the pedestal back there. I've got the whole year's calendar. If those of you that would like to help participate, if it would be more convenient for you to say that you'll do the first Sunday of every month or the second Sunday of every month, that would be great. That way we could plug you into that space and you won't forget, and it would be a lot easier for you. So anyway, we appreciate it. Also, just one side note, I'm going to start the Book of Proverbs Bible study in the women's class where Roxy is teaching next Sunday. And I've got four more spaces. I've got four more books. So any of you ladies that are interested in sitting in that class, you're welcome to. Just get with me to get a book. It is my favorite Bible of the book, of the book of the Bible. And I think you'll enjoy it. And I appreciate y'all's time. All right. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you all know me. I'm the Super Supper Lady. every year we have as an outreach from the WMM, the Women's Missions and Ministries, we have a fundraiser. Every year we benefit something different or someone different. Our fundraiser is going to be our Super Supper. Hi, Dolores. Our Super Supper. Everybody brings some soup. Bring your favorite. Bring a crock pot of soup, and you can sign up at the back. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last year, I think we had 18 crock pots of soup. And boy, did we eat. We ate good. And the cost of admission for this will be, oh yes, look at this. We have pictures from the Super Supper. You can hardly see the table for all the crock pots. But the cost of admission will just be a donation, your choice of whatever you would like to donate. We're going to be supporting this year the Florida Sheriff's Youth Ranch. Those of you who did not even know it existed, it is a wonderful, wonderful, worthy cause. It is a home for children. And they have such fantastic programs. I'm just really impressed by their programs. They raise these children, taking them away from bad situations in their home. And literally have committed to these children through high school. And one thing I'm investigating is they have a scholarship program For those who want to, can go on to trade school. They can go on to a junior college program and still stay under the guise of the Children's Youth Ranch. So I think it's a wonderful cause. So if Grady likes it, it's going to be good, right? And Grady supports it. So everybody be sure to bring your soups, sign up, pick one that hasn't already been chosen now. Let's have lots of variety. Thank you. Going to be on the 26th at 4 o'clock.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
If you haven't noticed yet, there is a place for everybody here. And there's going to be more places for more people. So if you're interested in, there's a lot of stuff in the background that you don't see normally unless you get involved. So get involved. Make this church grow. And let us be the church that we can be if we only allow God to work in our church. So let's pray. Our Father, we do come before you, and I praise you for this time that we have the opportunity to come into your house to give you praises. Lord, I thank you for that song we just sang. Lord, one day we're going to be standing before you in heaven if we know you as your Savior, singing praises unto you. Lord, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but it's going to be good because you told us in your word that it would be. So whatever we're going to be doing, we're going to be singing praises unto you. And I pray that as we're here, we can sing praises to you as well. Lord, you sacrificed so much for us that we do so little in comparison for it. But I thank you, Lord, that your salvation is free. That's a gift that you gave us if we'll only receive it. So today, Lord, as we came into this place, I pray that each one of us prepared our hearts for worship. I pray as we pray, as you told us that if two or three are gathering in your name, you would be in our midst, so we know you're here. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would work a mighty work in each one of us today. And Lord, again, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, what a day that would be that you'd come to have that hope and salvation through your Son, Jesus. And God, I do praise you for this church. I pray for so many people that does so much that, Lord, many people don't even know what's going on. But I praise you for those who are willing to sacrifice their time and their talents that you've given us to further your kingdom here. I thank you for Kenny, Lord. He's got that freedom to preach the true word of God without fear of us coming to him and saying, you know, quieten down so we can grow our church. Don't step on anybody's toes. Lord, he's preaching your word, and your word never changes. So I praise you for that. I thank you for Mark and his willingness in the choir that sings these songs, does so much work to prepare. And Lord, for you and each one of us who gather here just to support this church and your ministry. So Lord, again, I praise you for today. I pray again as we go through this service that everything that's said and done will bring honor and glory to you. And we just give you praise for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's continue this worship service by singing hymn number 141, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged
gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Father, thank you for all these believers and the guests that have shown to just praise you, Lord, and give you all the glory. Father, now it comes time for us just to give a portion back of everything you've given to us and that we can further your kingdom. And Father, again, we'll give you all the praise and glory for whatever happens. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let's everybody stand with the choir and continue our worship service by singing hymn number 516, "When the Roll Is Caught Up Yonder."
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal night and fair,
and the sailors
together are around the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Sing out now.
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen one shall gather to the home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Before Brother Kenny comes, Evie Corbett is going to play the special music.
All right. If you brought a Bible with you, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Just going to read a couple of verses with you. Colossians chapter 3. While y'all are turning there, I'll get you to hold on to that for just a second. You know how easy it is to be misunderstood? How easy it is to be getting confused about what people say sometimes? Well, this young girl, a teenage girl, was looking for a way to make some money to go to her youth camp. And she lived next door to a fairly extravagant neighborhood of wealthy folks with big houses. And she walked up and knocked on the door and said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm looking for some work. I want to make some money to go to my youth camp. Is there anything I could do?" And the guy looked around a little bit, and he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, there is." He said, "Do you paint?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I would love to have my porch painted." And she said, "Okay, well, how much?" He said, "How much?" And she said, "I'll do it for $50. He said, "Wow, that's a good price. Are you sure about that?" And she said, "Yes, $50. So he said, "Well, you stand right here. I've got the paint in the shed and all the brushes and everything. I'll go get those things for you, and I'll be right back, and you can paint my porch." She said, "That sounds really good." So he brings all the stuff back, and he says, "Just knock on the door when you're done, and I'll be happy to pay you." So a couple hours goes by, and he's inside, and his wife says, "Does she know the porch goes all the way around the house?" And he said, "Well, I don't know, but she's going to soon find out." So a couple hours later, she shows back up at the door. "Here for my money." He said, "Wow, that was quick." She said, "Oh," she said, "I'm good." She said, I even painted 2 coats, and there's paint left over." And he said, "Well, that's magnificent. Well, here's your $50. And by the way, I love your attitude, and I'm going to give you a $100 tip, and you can put that towards your camp." And she said, "Well, thank you so much." And she said, "Oh, by the way, I just wanted to remind you, sir, it's not a porch, it's a Lexus." Oh. Some of you car people get that, don't you? That's not a horror story, that's a nightmare. So be careful how you describe what it is you're going to do, because you could very easily be misunderstood. And that's the definition of a bad day. All right, I had to share that with you. When I heard that, I couldn't help it. It just tickled me. I'm a car guy. I love cars. And I'm thinking, oh, my word, don't hire this girl, you know. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Would you pray with me? Lord, we're so thankful today for the privilege to come here and worship together corporately as your family. Father, I thank you once again for every single person that came this way today, whether members or visitors, Father, whether from around here or from out of town. Lord, there are no such things as coincidences in your church, Father. These are God moments. These are divine appointments, and we are all here for a very specific and important reason, Father. Some to worship, Father, some to praise, some to thank you. Some, Father, who might even be seeking salvation and not know it. Whatever the case might be, Lord, let everything that we do here today and each time we meet, let us, Lord, do that unto your glory, Father, and for our growth. Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to everything said and done here today. May you be pleased with it, and may we be able to say it's been wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for being such an awesome God. We love you for all you are, for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the next several weeks, I want to do a series on corporate worship. What it is, what it's not, what it can be, what it should not be. I want to share some things with you. It's been on my heart and my mind for several months now. We have the incredible privilege to gather together as God's family and worship. We get to do that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special events throughout the year. And how important that is, how wonderful it is. And I believe that God honors our genuine and our true worship. The Word of God says we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, and to be a real response to an awesome God that he really is. And I want to share something with you from a book that I've been reading here just recently and I'm very much impressed with it. It takes a couple of minutes to read it, but it helps to where we're going, not only for this morning, but for the several weeks that are going to come following this. So if you'll hear me out for just a couple of minutes here, I think that the reading will describe itself quite well. A large crowd gathers for Thursday night worship, and the building is a convincing structure that looks more like a Broadway theater than what most would call a worship center. The impressive lighting, television monitors, wonderful decor, accent art, staging, and state-of-the-art sound system all serve as imposing reminders that this is no ordinary gathering of worship leaders. The lights dim, an intense hush settles over the crowd, and the band plays a praise and worship songs with energy and purpose. The curtain rises, and a worship leader proclaims in a loud voice, "Let the body of Christ worship the living Lord." And the members of the congregation spontaneously leap to their feet, begin to clap to the rhythm of the music, and instantly engage in worship. The gospel is presented in drama, in video, in personal testimony, in song and preaching, and Jesus is glorified, and they worship. 5,000 miles to the northwest, a small group gathers in a building on the Alaskan tundra. It's already cold and dark outside, but inside the group meets in sweet fellowship and love for each other. It's the only church in this village of nearly 200, mostly Alaskan Indians. The service is quiet and subdued. No piano, no sound system, no video, no lights. The building doesn't even seem to have electricity. The music is simple, and it's accompanied only by guitar. Believers spontaneously share testimonies of praise, and they rejoice in the goodness of God. A former alcoholic reads scripture. A former prostitute lifts up holy hands to the Lord. They listen, and they feed on the word as the pastor preaches, and they worship. Family members gather around. Oh, this is hard. The bed of a dying saint. Their dad, husband, and brother is dying of a blood disorder. In a matter of moments, he will pass from this life to the next. The family is facing the reality of death and the certainty of eternity. A family member reads scripture. All day they share with each other the joy of family. They pray for a swift and a painless home going. They praise God together. Even dad joins as they sing the refrain of a hymn. And then he closes his eyes. Steps out into eternity. I'm sorry. Brings back some memories. The family joins hands and spontaneously they sing, "God is so good and I love you, Lord." And they worship. So an unseasonably warm October sunshine makes its way through the 100-year-old stained glass windows. With power and majesty, the organist plays, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," on the old pipe organ. The congregation joins the choir, singing "How Firm a Foundation." The banner ministry presents the names of Jehovah on cue while the choir sings "How Firm a Foundation." And they sing no other name but the name of Jesus. The preaching is characterized by impeccable theology, sprinkled with practical application. The wonders of God are proclaimed. The body of Christ celebrates communion, and they worship. Service begins with the energetic a cappella singing of an enthusiastic African-American gospel choir. They know how to sing gospel. Congregational singing continues for nearly 45 minutes. A soloist sings of the glory of God. A Hammond B3 organ fills the room with music. People shout praises to God. The preacher presents the gospel with power and conviction, and the congregation never ceases to give glory to the Lord. And they worship. So what's it supposed to look like? Are we even allowed to define it? What is real worship to begin with? Is it something that I have created? Something that you maybe have created? Does it have to be a specific way in order for you to be able to handle it? These things are the dynamics of corporate worship. People of diverse and broad cultural backgrounds, life experiences, and personal preferences declaring genuine love and devotion to God. Together. I don't know that we yet understand how valuable these few minutes that we are experiencing now really are. We may not know how valuable they are until we no longer have this privilege to do this. You see, there's nothing magical at all about the time of worship, about the building that we worship in, about the style of music that we worship with, about the number of worship leaders that happen to be on the stage at one time. Whether or not we use drama, whether or not we use a pipe organ or a keyboard, whether or not we use an elaborate or sophisticated graphic software, whether or not we have stained glass or open windows, whether or not we choose one particular style of music over another, you see, what makes biblical worship dynamic is that it actually emerges out of a genuine hunger of that we have as Christians to know and express our love to a God who absolutely deserves it. I'm satisfied because I have lived it. Not proudly, but I have lived it. I have sat in a congregation where some of the finest music has been played and the finest voices have sung. And my heart and my mind was a million miles away. I have gone through the process when enough gospel was preached to have saved the entire world 100,000 times over and walked out without having heard a single word that would have made a difference for me because I wasn't listening or expecting anything. In the old Chinese proverb, he who expecteth nothing will not be deceived. My friends, if you came here with nothing to offer, you will most likely leave here with nothing to take with you. Not trying to be ugly, just trying to be honest. So many times the things that we talk about and what we call worship is anything but that. The Bible tells us that we need to have the mind of Christ, that we need to worship with one mind and with one heart and with one body. And we need to give all of the glory and the praise and the worship unto the one who absolutely deserves it. Worship begins in the heart, my friends. It doesn't begin with the choir. It doesn't begin with the piano. It doesn't begin with the special music. It begins in the heart. I either came here to meet the Lord Jesus or I came here for some other reason that will most likely not be satisfying when it's all said and done. You see, none of that's designed to be entertainment. In worship, God is the audience, and you and I are the participants. That's how it was scripturally, and I hope to share with you over the next several weeks a genuinely honest and biblical understanding of what worship is really all about. The optimal word in this whole process is together. Brothers and sisters, we get to do this together. Now, there's a place for private worship, and it's appropriate, and we need to have that in our lives. People look at me like I got three heads when I say to them, back when my wife and I were running our lawn service not that far ago, some of the best times I've ever had with me and the Lord is riding on my Dixie chopper in a big old church field out behind on Duff Road in Lakeland. Northside Baptist Church has got a massive field out there. You could put 2 or 3 football fields in it. And I just ride and ride and ride, and me and the Lord just have real nice talk. And the best ones was when he talked and I didn't. Been there? You know what that's like? The sad reality for the 21st century, and friends, it's not just our century. This has been going on for a long, long time. I'm not one for hidden agendas. I'm not one for telling you what I think is halfway true and leaving the rest of it for your own imagination. There is a war over worship in our churches today. Why is the body of Christ engaged in a war over worship? Sadly, congregations and around the country, even as well as internationally, they spend precious worship time fussing and fighting over what worship ought to look like. Please hear my heart today. As always, the last thing that I ever want to see happen here is that we get in a fight over anything. Anything. Worship is so much more than just music. And we'll learn that in the weeks to come. Worship is prayer. Worship is giving. Worship is evangelism. Worship is preaching and teaching the word of God. And in many ways, worship is a very sweet fellowship with the brothers and sisters that we have the privilege to know and to pray for. You see, it's not just about music, because biblical worship is so much more than that, and it's so much more meaningful than that. And unfortunately, there are wounded soldiers scattered all along both sides of the highway called biblical worship. The more I read, the sadder I get, because I realize what's going on here. Disagreements are so many. Worship preferences, traditions or not traditions, style and choice of music, cultural identity, and much, much, much more. And you and I, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, the privilege that we have to share together what's incredibly special. Some people just call it church. Oh, it's so much more. This is so much more. The very thing that should draw the body of Christ together, and that's the worship of Jehovah God, who definitely deserves it, has become kind of a source of a deep and a damaging division. I thought long and hard and prayed over the process of whether or not I should share any of this. Do you really want to open that can of worms, is what I thought on one side. Do you really want to bring that to the forefront? Do you really want to talk about those subjects that are edgy? Do you really want to get honest and real about something that has the potential to blow up and destroy fellowships and cause people to leave and cause people to have frustrations and problems? And the next thought that came in my mind is, you've been called to speak the truth. So I will, as lovingly as I know how. Understand this. Behind all of the bells and whistles and the lights and the video and the sound, there's a guy named Satan who promotes our division. Make no mistake, this is not just about my personal preference or yours. Satan is very much aware that the worship of Jehovah is at the heart of our relationship with our precious Lord. Because we love him, we worship him. Because he is appreciated, because we are thankful to him, we worship him. Because it is the right thing to do, we show up here corporately as Lena Vista Baptist Church, with or without visitors, and we worship him. We tell him thank you. We tell him we love you. We tell him we appreciate you. We tell him you are worthy of our honor above and beyond anything that we could say. And any time that the Satan gets an opportunity as the evil one, he will do everything in his power to distract you and I and to destroy anything that God would want to build into our lives, whether it's through the fellowship, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through preaching, whether it's through Sunday school. Listen, if we aren't aware that Satan wants to destroy everything good that God wants to build here, we are not paying attention. Okay? So at the very beginning of this series, several things I would want to say to you is, please give this understanding a chance to sink deeply into your heart. There is a biblical worship pattern. It is very clear, chapter and verse. And in the weeks to come, we will talk about that. There's a biblical pattern. These folks loved and worshiped God. and they didn't have any problems saying so or doing so. And just like those five congregations that I talked about in the opening of this message, they're so divided and so different from one another, it's not even funny. But yet they all have the same purpose, and that's to praise and to worship our holy God. Whatever ministry we engage in, Satan will want to destroy it. And if he is successful at getting us who worship God to be captivated and caught up in arguments about how it ought to be done, then we too will be disappointed and we will fail. Worship is not something that you just watch. Worship is a participation. And it never became more true to me than years ago when I played softball, church league softball, back when I could run and back when I could actually get out of the way of the ball when they hit it at me. Can't do that now, so I don't play softball. I'm more of a target. But we had uniforms like most people did, Gapway Baptist Church. And I can remember a number of times when I put that uniform on, the only thing that was in my mind was, I want to play. I took my time, what they call in the baseball world, riding the pine. That's sitting in the dugout. And the other guys were on the field, and I'm keeping score. I got my uniform on, but I'm just keeping score, and I haven't got my turn to play yet. And I can recall a number of times standing against the fence with the book in my hand, writing down whether they got a base hit or got an out or whatever. And it's really weird to think about this, because now, years later, I'm using that experience as an example of what I'm talking about. Worship will never be the same if all you do is put the uniform on and ride the pine. I'm going to be honest with you. Did you come here this morning expecting to hear from God in some way, form, or fashion? Through the music, through the prayer, through the fellowship? Did you come here with an expectation that I get to come to church today? I get to meet the Lord Jesus today through the reading of the word and the singing and the playing and all the things that come along with corporate worship? See, those are the beautiful things that Satan wants to steal from us. He wants me to get all crooked or sideways because it doesn't look like something that I think it should look like. It's not a spectator event. It's a participation event. It's active. It's not passive. And we express that in our singing and in our praising and in our giving and in our prayer and in our evangelistic preaching for people to be saved. It's critical that we are aware that Satan wants to steal all that and that we're also aware on the flip side of what an incredible privilege that we have here. Have you ever missed an opportunity? Does that ever seem like once you get to the store to buy that thing you saw the coupon on for sale that it ended yesterday? I mean, really and truthfully, let's just get real for a second. That kind of happens. So this whole idea of worship, it's talked about, it's criticized, it's preached. Churches have fallen completely apart. Churches have separated. Hard feelings have come about. And I want to share it with you what I believe the Bible would want you and I to understand about the process and the privilege that we get to do. I spent 25 years of my life as a student pastor. You can only imagine the style of music that I got to hear. If you've not done that in your past, Sue, you're smiling. God bless you. I think you know. I learned to love it. I didn't love it to start with because it wasn't what I listened to. But I learned to love it. You know why? Because I watched genuinely honest Christian teenagers expressing their love and appreciation for their Savior through a music, through prayer. I watched them as they sat almost motionless, oftentimes, when I taught the Word of God to them on Wednesday nights. Listen, don't you ever underestimate the reality of a teenage worship experience. Don't you ever think that it's all about the noise and not about the Word, not about the Lord. And for some, yes, but isn't that true for us? Let's just get real for a second here. I didn't look to find God every time I've been in the church. I wasn't looking forward to having a worship experience. Most of the time I was looking forward to be over. Because the NFL came on at 1 o'clock. Oh, yeah, he done stopped preaching, going to meddling now. I believe our corporate worship is going to have everything to do with our private worship. If God isn't God in your life away from here, then he's probably not God in your life at all. You say, you can't make that judgment. I didn't make it. Word of God's very clear. I believe that a person needs to enjoy a very meaningful worship in his or her private life before you'll ever be able to enjoy a meaningful worship in the public corporate life in the church like we do it here. And they do it everywhere else. So my intentions are clear. In the weeks to come, I want to consider the many aspects of corporate worship. I'm satisfied that it's life-changing, folks. I'm absolutely satisfied that it's life-changing. And I was afraid to address this about 4 weeks ago until God gave me a peace. Kenny, you need to say these things. You need to share this. And don't make it about your opinion. Show them chapter and verse. Let them know what the biblical understanding of worship is from all the aspects of worship, all the way from the giving to the singing. And now what started out being a fear, and I'm just being straight up honest with you, because of so many churches have had issues and problems, and some have divided and some have closed up shop because of the worship wars that goes on within them. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of this. We have a loving, wonderful church, and God is working in our in the church, in his church here. And it wouldn't leave me alone. So please, give it a chance. Don't reach over and turn the volume down. Please don't push the off button to your brain and to your heart. I think we all would agree that we ought to be free to worship the Lord Jesus in our conviction and in the joy that we find in our relationship with God. We ought to be able to praise him both quietly and out loud should we want to. And we can do that together. And you're going to begin to see some subtle changes in our worship experience here. And every one of those changes are designed to enhance what we already have to the glory of God and to our own personal growth. I believe if you have something good, then you keep it that way, and if you can add to it, you add to it. If you can enhance something, you enhance it. And it's my prayer that every single time that you participate in a worship service, that you'll do just that. That you will worship, and you'll worship. If there's 100 people in this building, there'll be 100 different ways for you and I to worship. And here's the deal. The worship that we do, especially according to the passage of Scripture that I read and many more, is what we do, my friends, we do unto the Lord. Lacey, I've seen your choir, the Florida choir, about 3 or 4 times. If you want to see people worship, go see the Florida choir. They will demonstrate for you what that looks like when given the privilege and the opportunity. You say, well, wait. So what do you mean? It's, you don't think what we do here is worship? That's not what I said. Your worship might be quiet. Mine might be loud. But this will determine whether or not it's real. And it's going to be exciting to me to see what's going to take place. I believe that this can be an amazing transformation for us to add to what's already amazing in my eyes. I'm so pleased to be part of Lena Vista Baptist Church. I'm so pleased at what God's doing here. I'm so pleased to have the loving relationship with you that I have. And I'm pleased that you will allow me to speak the truth. And Brother Rick, I thank you for that prayer. And you all let me speak the truth. I mean, you might have roast preacher for dinner, but I don't know about that just yet. If that happens, I hope it's good. You know? So please understand that my goal is never to eliminate that which already works well, but to enhance that in every possible way through the use of the things that God has given us the privilege to be a part of. And I want to close with this, and it struck in my heart deeply the last time I read it. I'd heard a message on worship many years ago, and the guy began by explaining his definition of the word worship. He said the definition of worship includes the idea of worth-ship. He said, matter of fact, that's pretty much the solid definition of the word worship is worth-ship. He went on to say that we attribute worth or value to that which, you know, that which has worth. We worship that which we consider valuable. Now, the reality of the moment is, for some folks, that's money. They worship the ability to make the bottom line bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Is it wrong to have money? No. Some worship fame. Some worship power. And you can go on down the lines and you can name them, and you know people like I'm talking about. Maybe you have been one of those at the time. The thing about it is, for the Christian, our object of worship is Jesus. It's not the prayer. It's not the preaching or the preacher. It's not the singing or the singers. It's Jesus. He is the object of our worship because he is worth it. Okay? So this is the point that I wanted to go to today. He is absolutely, unequivocally worthy of our worship. And if we refuse to worship him, and this is the part that broke me down, and I have a hard time even talking about it. He looked at us solemnly, and I thought he was looking right at me. And he said, if you're unwilling to worship when you come to church because it's not being done the way you want it to be done, he said, then you might as well look at Jesus and simply say, you're not worth it. It just broke my heart because I've been that guy. You preach it my way or I'm going to shut you off. You sing it my way or I'm going to just close my book and watch. God, help us. Jesus is our object of worship. It's so easy to get to the point where we worship the music instead of the God of the music. Or we worship the preacher instead of the word. Listen, folks, if I could stand in the back room and share this with you, I'd be happy with that. I have to be here. I don't want to be seen. I don't care if I'm ever seen. But if I'm preaching God's word, I want to be heard. And the bottom line is if all you hear is Kenny, then you got cheated by coming here today. I want the Spirit of God to make the word of God as real as it can possibly be. We have a wonderful, marvelous love in this church among people. We're wide open to accept visitors and those that would come here and share with us. And I never, ever, ever want that to change. There's great, marvelous theology in the hymns, and I never, ever want us to stop singing that. I never, ever want us to stop praying together, stop teaching together, stop fellowshipping together, stop loving one another. I never, ever, ever want to give Satan any room whatsoever to divide us or hurt us or destroy us in any way, form, or fashion. I don't want the devil inside here at all. So I'm asking you, please look deep inside of your own heart and inside of your own soul and face the truth. Are we worshiping for real? Am I worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth? Do I come here expecting to hear from God in one way, form, or fashion? And when I leave this building and shut those doors shut behind me, did I have a real experience with my Lord and Savior? Did I get to say thank you in a way that matters? Not only for him, but for us. And I'm asking you, give it a chance. Consider something that you might not have ever experienced before being something that you could fall in love with and realize that it's the object of our worship that really matters, and that is Jesus Christ. And he is worthy. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What a privilege this is. What a joy this is and could be or should be. How magnificent is our opportunity to express how we feel about the goodness of our God. We need to come here and be thankful and appreciate and love and sing and pray and teach and preach and minister, because we can. We get to do these things unto him who is absolutely worthy. Maybe you're here today and you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about. You have no particular reason to worship him because you're not related. Knowing about Jesus, my friend, is not the same thing as knowing Jesus personally. Maybe you're here and that's your condition, and I can understand that completely. If you have no worship experience, primarily it might be because you have no Lord and Savior called Jesus. But if you do, and he is your Lord and Savior, may I encourage you deeply, take those experiences privately and personally to express how good he is and how wonderful he is in praise and worship in all kinds of different ways. Maybe you need to know that Lord today. Today's your opportunity. Maybe you need to join this church today. We'd love to have you. Whatever the case might be, whatever the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, you do that. And I'm sure you'll be pleased that you did. And he will be too. Stand with me as we pray, please. Father, thank you. You're an awesome God. And we love you dearly. And you are so worthy of our praise. And I pray, Father, during these next few moments, that decisions would be made, Lord. I pray, Spirit, that you have spoken to our hearts and helped us to realize what an awesome opportunity we have. We love you and we thank you for all you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 308.
Say.
way or the other. I want to invite you back tonight at 6 o'clock. We are just one chapter into the book of Ruth, having that study. It's an exchange teaching study where you can ask questions and answer questions and whatever the case might be. We'd love to see you back at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you so much. I love you and I appreciate you, Brother Moore.
I just want to remind everybody that we do have choir practice on Wednesday nights after the service. And as you can tell, we still have plenty of room. So we want to invite anybody that would like to participate. Also, I believe that there will be quartet practice tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Again, I'm just like Kenny. I want to invite everybody back for tonight. Y'all have a great afternoon. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?